open your Bibles and read along with me. Luke 24, verses 36 through 53. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's myself. Touch me and see. Ghosts do not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms." He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. The repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name of all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hand and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple and praising God.
Good afternoon. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. None of us would be here if it wasn't for them. Thank God for all the spiritual mothers in our life who prayed for us, who prayed for me, who participated in the birthing of our spiritual lives and our spiritual growth. Let's take a moment to remember who that is in your life, in the past, in the present. Pray for such people to emerge for our children as well. Our title for today, this last kind of Sunday of the resurrection and moving into Ascension Sunday, is "We Are Waiting and Worshiping Witnesses." From our passage from Luke that Christian just so wonderfully but speedily read for us, with key verse 48. I think this one we can memorize, right? This is a good one to memorize. This is an important one about our identity in Christ. Okay, ready? "You are witnesses of these things." So it's important to remember the first audience who this whole book of Luke was written for, they were about 50 years removed from the events of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Again, several generations had passed before Luke really wrote and published and sent out his gospel to the churches around AD 80. They were mainly small Gentile discipleship communities facing the challenges and obstacles of their time, which was some persecution under the Emperor Domitian, different rounds of struggles and difficulties on political issues, cultural issues, race issues. In many ways, nothing new under the sun. We are some 2,000 years removed. We are also a small Gentile discipleship community facing the challenges and obstacles of our time. Today, let's take time to see God's plan amidst all this, and affirm we are instruments of God's plan as Spirit-empowered witnesses. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, open our minds to see your redemptive story and our part in it, Help us to identify ourselves as you see us, as witnesses of this redemptive story that you are bringing forth to the world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First, identify and address our lingering troubles and doubts. Verses 36 through 43. So in this first section, we see how Jesus asked these reflective questions highlighted in yellow up there and provided space for the disciples to explore and experience greater peace. Their lingering troubles and doubts could begin to be identified and addressed. This was a crucial step in becoming effective witnesses. So look at these verses up here, 36 through 40. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. So we can imagine the scene, you know, all their stories and testimonies of Jesus' resurrection from the women and Peter and these disciples that were just coming were bubbling over. Jesus could not help but manifest among them, "Here I am, peace be with you." The reality of what happened was still sinking in. Jesus asked some straight-talking, reflective questions. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? He then directed them to see and to touch his hands and feet. He sought to give them every confidence of his resurrection and promise-keeping love. Jesus seeks to make us, can everybody look around? Make us his witnesses. For that, we need some awareness of the lack of peace in us and around us in the world. He aims for us, as Kevin shared last week, to be instruments of peace. And every new season of life brings anxiety and stress, whether it's the coming summer, the finishing of spring semester to summer, the coming of a new child, a new job, transitioning out of this COVID era to whatever is ahead for us. Like airline luggage that got checked in and is waiting to be picked up in the carousel. Has anyone ever been in this scene here waiting for your luggage? We have lingering troubles and doubts that inevitably circle back in our lives. If we don't address and deal with it, it's like the baggage that's on the carousel. We have a moment to get in there and grab it and unpack it and deal with it. Or we wait and it's going to have to kind of go around again and we'll have another chance at another later time to deal with it. There's a moment, there's a time God opens to address the lingering doubts and anxieties and struggles we have that are standing in the way of us being effective witnesses for Jesus, to claiming that identity. For me, it was recently, at least, a lot of my own relational enmeshment with people. Getting so enmeshed with relationships that I took too much responsibility for others' happiness. And part of it was a pattern of my own upbringing. had a lot of soul searching and digging and seminary study and reading and struggle with my closest relationships with my wife and family. Most of you got a front row seat to some of this when my younger brother Michael was here, helping him to walk through his issues, whereas actually helping me grow and mature, deal with these lingering doubts and struggles so I can better emerge as a witness for Jesus in my life. So we need to reflect on these things. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? In very practical ways, Jesus seeks to heal and supplant such trouble and stress and anxiety and doubt with the peace and assurance of his love and resurrection and active presence with us. Look at verses 41 to 43. And while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Don't you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Now it seems joy and amazement are somehow in the way of their faith. So he ate some broiled fish in their presence. In this way, Jesus kind of demasked the over-emotionalized circumstances to something more ordinary, like eating fish together. In this way, they could begin to make the important faith connections in their life to what was actually happening and the blessings they were receiving in the resurrection of Jesus, so that they could be effective witnesses over the long haul. It's interesting that the joy and amazement of God's blessings in our life can be a hindrance to growing in faith if we don't slow down to take time to recognize and see what God is doing. How is that related to the faith journey that God has been walking with us on? And not just taking those blessings and running away. Time is needed to connect and map out these blessings in view of God's leading and this overall journey of our lives of faith and God's story in our life. Sorting all this out, our troubles and our stress and our blessings and our joys, is crucial to our testimony as a community and as individuals to be effective witnesses for Jesus and the gospel. Second, anticipate fresh revelation and power as witnesses, verses 44 through 49. So in this part, the emphasis is on what Jesus and God are doing and providing for the disciples. Again, the emphasis is on what God and Jesus are doing. This helps us to understand who we are and what we can expect to receive from God and Jesus in the whole scheme of things of our lives. So let's look at these verses 44 through 49. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So here we see Jesus opening new ways for these disciples to understand, interpret, and apply the Old Testament scriptures. With this new revelation of Jesus as the Messiah and the reality of his death and resurrection, he now opened them to begin to see what they had known their whole life of the Old Testament from this now revealed reality and perspective and truth. And it opened up a whole new way of understanding and interpreting and applying the scriptures. God always had in mind the total life changes of people and nations through the forgiveness of sin that Jesus would usher in through his death and resurrection. Jesus assures the disciples of their part in God's redemptive story as witnesses. It was his story and his plan, and he would provide the power needed to carry it out as they stayed on track with him. All nations are certain to hear the message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, because that's what God is committed to happening. So to be a witness is to be certain, to be affirmed, to be assured of our inclusion into God's history, God's redemptive story. So sometimes that seems a very vague and intellectual thing when we talk about the story. Can you do the next slide, Jude? So one helpful way to understand God's redemptive story and history and the gospel coming are in these plot themes, like a story has. There's a creation, and then there's a fall, and then there's redemption and restoration. That's the storyline of the Bible. That's the storyline of the gospel. That's the storyline of our lives in Christ. That's the storyline of our community in Christ. That's the storyline that we witness to others about. The creation, the fall, the restoration through Jesus, and the redemption through Jesus, and the restoration of all things and everything being made new. That's the story God invites us into. That's what God is doing in human history. Amen? Where are you at in sharing this story? Are you ready as witnesses? We are not in the driver's seat of our lives or anything else. Instead, God graciously grafts our lives into his story. We wait on him to fill us with power from on high to carry out the next right thing. This week I had a chance to pray at an event called Toledo Praise, so I wanted to share a 40-second video of me praying at that event with everyone as an example of being grafted into God's story. So I was asked to, I was asked to pray over this area of education as part of Merge and part of this Toledo Praise event. So that's, in one way, it was an opportunity. I'm not used to praying like that in that kind of environment, but I experienced power from on high as I humbly waited. God came and manifested his heart and gave me the words to speak and to pray and to lead this congregation and the city on this National Day of Prayer. It's something God is doing in our city, and we're a part of it, and our church is part of it, and we're part of the Church of Toledo, right? It's bigger than this, right? It's the Church of Toledo, and we're praying and reaching souls in our city, and we have a strategic place at the University of Toledo, especially in the education realm, really equipping witnesses for the next leadership of our nation through campus ministry and through our professional lives of service and working for the Lord. Thinking about this and this passage this week, I couldn't help but think about our key verse this year from Hebrews. So can we recite that together? Can you see it up there? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So it's good. We're kind of close to like half year. We tend to forget the key verse about now. So I think it's good to remind ourselves, what is this hope that we are holding unswervingly to? Right, what is it? Well, one of them is the reality of who we are. We hold unswervingly to the hope of how God sees us and what God promised us to be. You are my witnesses to these things. We hold unswervingly to the inevitable progression of the gospel reaching all nations. We hold unswervingly to the promise of power from on high. We believe God has wisdom for how we can spur one another on. We desperately need Jesus to open our minds, to understand, interpret, and apply Scripture to our lives now as witnesses. What does it mean for you or you or you to live as a witness in your workplace and professional life? How are we to be a witness to our spouse and our families? What is the wisdom of God for us to be a healthy, loving community with margin to embrace each other and UT students? How can we spur one another on toward love and good deeds as we get ready for summer? Summer! We are instruments of God's plan as Spirit-empowered witnesses. Third, we continually praise and worship God while waiting. In this last section, we see the collective response of the group's encounter with the risen Jesus. We find what characterizes our lives together as witnesses. So verses 50 to 53. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So this group of disciples, this discipleship community, continued to follow Jesus wherever he led them. In this case, he led them to the outskirts of town on the way to Bethany. Jesus gave a benediction and then ascended into heaven. Wow. Continual worship and joy defined what this discipleship community would be as they waited to be clothed with power from on high. So this past 18 months, we all have gone through different kinds of trouble and stress. It's been a long journey for us. I was remembering the beginning stages of our online worship and trying to do stuff with the kids on Abraham last year through online stuff. But the risen Christ has come and made his presence known among us. Of late, one by one, he is giving us living testimonies to his resurrection. We heard it in our kids. We've heard it in the messengers. We heard it, the testimonies at Spring Conference. One thing we have done together over this past year and a half, does anybody know what it is? Praising and worshiping God on Sundays. Right. Amen. Amen. As a discipleship community, this is something we can always stand on as the bedrock of our collective spirituality and lives. This is the place we always come back to. We can always find a place to worship and meet God and praise God and find joy in his presence, trusting that that's the place God will launch us into something else, something more. The worship of Jesus Christ, our Lord, seeks to define every part of our lives. Sometimes we want to know how to be a witness for Jesus in our workplace. We wonder how God will answer our prayers in real-time struggles. We are not sure how to raise our children with personal faith. We struggle with how to better reach students on campus. Sometimes we are not even sure how to love each other well. Whatever the answers are to these important questions, they begin with worshiping and praising the name of Jesus in those everyday places and spaces of our lives. That's where we'll meet and find the opening of our minds and the power from on high as we worship and wait. In conclusion, take time this week to identify your troubles and doubts. Maybe to reconnect God's blessing in your life to your faith journey and how God has been leading you. Anticipate the opening of your minds and fresh power from on high, from the Holy Spirit. And continually worship God in the waiting. Let's read our key verse one more time. Okay? You are witnesses of these things. Let's try it again. One, two, three. All right. Can we do it one more time from memory now? One, two, three. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to really receive how you see us in your redemptive story, in your desire to bring repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all nations, in this amazing story of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. We are your witnesses. Father, equip us to be effective witnesses and to claim this and to be this and to be willing to wait and worship in the waiting. So power from on high may compel us to the next right thing. I pray all this in Jesus' name.